Hey, everybody, it's Rick and Rob. Welcome back to the Nomad Pastor Podcast.
Man, I'm excited about today.
Me too. How was your holidays?
It was great.
Yeah?
We got to go visit my parents in Southeast Missouri.
Awesome.
And we're coming back Monday in whiteout conditions.
Oh, I got a story for you.
Until we got to the river. And it was, we got to the Mississippi River, and it had slowed down. By the time we got to Dyersburg, Tennessee, it was just spitting.
Yeah, that ain't that bad.
No, it wasn't that bad.
So this is episode 82, but it is the first episode for season 3.
This is awesome.
Yeah.
This is a landmark.
It is. It'll be like we're starting the year together, right? We ended together, but this will be the first year that we're starting together to do this.
Right.
And so I think it's fitting you had a topic you wanted to talk about.
Yeah, I do. And every year I come up with – it's not really a resolution that I come up with, but I come up with a new – like a topic or a focus for the year. Right. And so this year I was thinking, you know, about New Year's resolutions and everything. And today I wanted us to talk about resolutions that we make and why we don't follow through with them. Why do they crash so quick?
It's I can't tell you how many years I've said I'm going to go to the gym.
Yeah. Oh yeah. How many years did you have a gym membership actually and not go?
I mean, I could have saved a lot of money.
Me too.
Right.
I had one for like, of course, folks that don't know, I work for Vanderbilt Medical Center.
Yep.
And I had a gym membership when I worked downtown for about 4 years. That I did not use. I did use it for about 3 years prior to that.
Yeah. But
I hurt my shoulder and then never went back and never canceled the membership until I came to Vanderbilt Wilson County.
But that's how they make their money, right? They make their money by getting people to sign up and then never show up.
Yeah. And Anytime Fitness, you know, what is it? Yeah. $20 a month or something like that?
Yeah. Now, we did have a membership when we lived in Smyrna to the Y, the YMCA.
Right.
And I wouldn't say we went a lot, but it wasn't that much money. We had a family membership.
Right.
You know, so when the kids were younger, we would, you know, take them swimming there.
Yeah, there's different things to do at the Y.
Yeah, there's different things. Here they have Jimmy Floyd.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. And Jimmy Floyd's a nice place.
Yeah. And Linda's been there doing like water aerobics and stuff before. And we've talked about doing that, but we're on the go so much that it's just.
Yeah. It doesn't do me any good either because we're the same way. Yeah. We're always going.
Yeah.
Always going.
So how do we want to start this, right? So we've said, like, we all make New Year's resolutions.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't made any this year.
Yeah.
I don't really know why, but I haven't made any.
Yeah.
Now, normally, I'll pick a word, right? Like, what word am I going to study in the Bible?
Yeah. Yeah, and we've talked about that a couple times before.
Yeah, we have.
So to me, the way that I would start this conversation off would be why a New Year's resolution? Why do we make that decision to make a change at New Year's beside the fact that it's January the 1st, the first day of a brand new year?
Hmm.
Is that the only reason?
Well, because it's the new day of a new year, it's a new beginning.
Okay. I get that.
Right?
I get that.
It's something you're starting fresh.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So I think people like to believe I've got this fresh start, right? It's the new year. I'm a new person.
Exactly.
Right.
Yeah.
I'm going to do new things.
I'm going to start off this new deal and the wheel runs off normally about day 6.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think it does. For most people.
For most people, it does. Right. Now, for those people who are out there that finish up the year and are actually able to finish a resolution that they began January 1st, kudos. Congratulations. Yeah. Awesome job.
Praise God to you.
Yeah, exactly.
Because right, you're stronger than I am.
Exactly. Exactly. You know? But there have been times when, case in point, I can't tell you how many times I would start off January 1st and go, I'm never drinking again.
Oh, let me tell you.
Yeah.
I mean, look, I chewed for many years. I smoked for many years, right? And I wasn't just like a little chewer.
Right.
Right. I mean, I was Copenhagen, fine cut,
straight,
no flavor,
mm-hmm.
2 cans a day.
Oh, yeah. I've been there, done that.
Right?
Yeah.
And I would be like, that's it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm never doing this again.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And about 12 hours later, somebody's like, you really need to.
Yeah, slip this. Give him some of this.
Why don't you just take this because it's going to be a problem.
Yeah, you're a grumpy old man right now. I did that exact same thing, you know. And I had the little things where, I would dip Copenhagen. I'd put a little dip up here in the top lip when I was drinking coffee.
Yeah.
You know? I did the exact same thing. Right. I know exactly what you're talking about.
Move it around, right?
Yeah. Like, you know. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Had Copenhagen can rings in the back of your jeans.
Every one.
Every single one. I remember when.
My pants would wear out where the can was before where my wallet was.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right.
Mine too. I quit using smokeless tobacco in 07.
Okay.
Like March the 1st of 07. I was on Trace Diaz weekend.
All right.
And the cool thing about it was just one of those things where it was my son's birthday.
Mm-hmm.
Which, by the way, y'all pray for my son Alex right now. He's in the hospital in El Paso with an appendicitis.
Oh, Lord.
And so we're waiting on an appendectomy. So anyway.
That's hard.
It is. But anyway, it was his birthday, and all three of the kids really had been after me. You know, Daddy needed to quit.
It's time.
So it was just one of those things where the motivation was there, you know, and I was going to be in a spot to where I, you know.
You could.
Right. I could.
Isolated. You were around plenty of support.
Exactly. Right? Exactly.
Which is the big key.
It's huge.
It was hard for me. I quit when I moved to Tennessee.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And now I smoked too.
Right. Oh, I did too. Yeah.
So I quit chewing and I just smoked.
Yeah.
Which was worse.
It really is. But here's the thing. It was easier for me to quit smoking than it was quit dipping.
Yeah, I think it was.
Because it was, I could occupy my hands with something else.
That's right.
With my guitar or, you know, what I could occupy my hands. But that, I missed that flavor and, you know, when you get your first tooth pulled and the first thing you do is you stick your tongue in a socket. That's what I always did. I always like to pack my dip in. But anyway.
I'm right there with you.
So what I'm saying is getting back to the resolution thing, you know, I quit March the 1st of 2007, you know, when I had tried other times, whether it be New Year or whatever, all those times that I had tried and failed. And I think resolutions fail for the exact same reasons because of you don't use the support group or the encouragement that you have around you.
Absolutely.
You know, you don't.
And you don't have an accountability team.
Exactly.
Right.
Because
it's not even just using the support.
Right.
Right. Somebody's got to hold you accountable.
And we don't allow ourselves to be accountable in those things.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
You know, whether it be going to the gym, you know, quitting dipping or smoking or drinking or, you know, whatever that goal is, we don't allow ourselves to be accountable so that our accountability team or our people or support or whatever can actually do what they're, you know, supposed to do, whether it be support or hold us accountable, either one.
What do you do when your accountability team or the people that you want to hold you accountable are pushing it on you?
Enabling it kind of?
Yeah.
Well, we've talked about changing our playground and our playmates.
we have. Let me give you an example. And I'm not naming names, right? But look, everybody knows if you've watched any of the videos, I could tend to lose a few pounds. Right.
I can too. No,
but I'm just saying.
Don't feel too pregnant in this.
right.
On this first episode third season.
But I've lost, you know, in the last month, like 10 pounds.
Praise God. That's awesome.
Yeah. But it's 10 pounds that I have lost 30 times.
Well.
Right.
Yeah, I get it.
And so my struggle is, for whatever reason, I can't handle carbs at all.
Okay.
Right. If I eat carbs, I'm going to blow up like a balloon. Just how it works.
Okay.
I don't know why. I can't explain it. You know, I grew up meat and veggies. That's what we ate all the time.
Right. I did. I was a meat and three guy.
Right. We didn't.
Still am.
We didn't do, you know, a lot of store-bought stuff, right? We hunted and fished. And,
mm-hmm.
Right. So, you know, so if I don't eat carbs, like I can lose weight, like it's going out of style.
Right.
Right. But then we go places and somebody's like, oh, go ahead and have that cookie. It ain't gonna, it's one cookie. One, it's not gonna hurt you.
Right.
You know, that one cookie turns into a half gallon of ice cream.
Exactly. I understand.
Right.
It's just like, you know, one of the big things around the holidays for me is those little Dansk butter cookies.
Oh, yeah.
In the blue tin.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Rebecca brought.
Like shortbread butter cookies.
That's exactly what they are. Right.
Yeah.
I got one the other day. I kid you not, this thing is 16 inches around.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I was told, take that to work. I'm like, who am I going to share them with? I'm in my office by myself.
Yeah.
I don't care.
Yeah, put them out in the front lobby or something.
Yeah, get them out of here. Get them out of here. Right? And then all the things, I'm exactly with. And my daughter is a dietitian. My middle child is a dietitian.
Okay.
And she's working towards her doctorate, and she's a big advocate of, like, times like holidays, have the cookie. Have the cookie. Not all of the cookies.
If you're strong enough to just stop at one.
That's the point. That's what I'm saying. Getting back to resolutions, yeah. Being strong enough and having the willpower, not just the willpower, but the desire.
That's right.
To just have the one cookie.
That's right.
You know, I believe in, I don't want to say indulging, but I believe in a treat every now and then.
Yeah.
Now, if you open the freezer at my house, you're going to find fudge pops.
There ain't nothing wrong with that.
You know, and there's probably some other things. I mean, there's toasters.
I mean, look, if you go down in our freezer, you'll find, you know, ice cream and a bunch of stuff.
Right.
But, you know, you'll find a lot of gluten-free things, right?
Cause Linda, oh, yeah.
Because Linda can't have.
Same right? At my house.
She can't. Yeah. She's celiac. She can't have any gluten.
You'll right.
Find a ton of gluten-free things. But there's still a ton of things with carbs that I can't have.
Yeah.
Right? And I don't eat them. She's very good about saying, hey, don't do that.
Stop.
Right?
Yeah.
You know, and as long as I'm strong, I'm fine. And, you know, like I said, I haven't made a new New Year's resolution this year. I haven't picked a word yet. I still got a couple, you know, a little bit of time before that.
Yeah, you got a couple of days. Well,
as of this recording, I got a couple of days.
Yeah, but
when
right.
This releases, it's going to be time.
It's going to be after time.
Right?
Yeah.
So when you think about how we do this, right, it's important to say, like, what do I need to do every day to maintain that strength?
So I have a couple of thoughts on this.
Okay.
There and coming from someone who has broken the chain of addiction in my own life.
Right.
Through with the help of God.
Yep.
Let me say this unequivocally. Did I say that right? Unequivocally?
I think so.
Okay, close enough. For my redneck dialect, that's perfect. God walked me through every aspect of my recovery.
Right.
From the detox time all the way through 14 and a half years later.
Yeah.
Still giving me the tools to say no to things.
Yeah.
And I think when we get to a point to where we want to take the reins over of our own destiny with whatever it be, a New Year's resolution, wanting to stay away from carbs, you know, the gluten-free thing with celiac, well, that's a little bit easier.
Problem.
That's a real problem. But at the same time, I'm not allergic to gluten. My wife is.
Yeah.
So when we go somewhere to eat, you know, I have to make sure that the things that are the places that we go have those options for her.
Well, absolutely. And you know, I don't eat gluten because Linda's so allergic to it.
Right.
Right?
Right.
And so,
right.
You know, there's only two or three places we go eat.
Sure.
Because even though some place may have something that says gluten-free.
It may not be.
They may be cross-contaminating.
Right.
And, like, they're just not really serious about
right.
it. Right.
But to my point, unless we, and we talked about, you know, our accountability and those that we are transparent enough to be accountable with.
Yeah.
Until we rely on God for the strength for that resolution or to stop or to begin something brand new, until we rely on the strength that God gives us and his strength alone, There's no way that we can keep a resolution. There's no way that we can stop smoking, dipping, drinking, cussing. We can't do that.
Well, you're absolutely right. I mean, you know, that's why, you know, it says trust in the Lord with all your heart.
All your heart.
Right?
And all your ways.
And all your ways.
Right.
And it says that. And that's why I say, what should you do every day? Right.
So every day you have to go ahead. I'm sorry.
That's why I'm saying that. That's why I asked, what should you do every day? Is because every day you have to be with God.
Mm-hmm.
Right. You can't just magically say, I'm going to stop doing this. That's my opinion. Right. If there are people who just said, I'm not going to do it anymore, and they just stopped like that and had no accountability and no help from God, they are.
Wow.
Whoa.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right.
Exactly.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Whoa.
Yeah. Hercules.
I don't know how you did it.
I don't either.
Right.
I don't either.
But for me, I have to have strength, and I get my strength from Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And the only way I can get that strength is to be with Christ every day.
Every single day.
Right. And to be with Christ in prayer, right? Prayer is the conversation. I think far too often we don't spend enough time in prayer. Like I read a statistics one time that said in North America, the average pastor spends 8 minutes a day or 8 minutes a week praying.
What?
Outside of before meals and to start a church service.
8 minutes a week?
They said the average pastor spends 8 minutes a week. Now, I know that that's not what my pastor does.
No.
Right? But I started to really think about, like, well, who are they asking these questions? When you take away praying for meals,
uh-huh.
and when you take away praying at the beginning and end of a church service,
okay,
they said the average pastor spends 8 minutes a week.
I want to disagree with that so bad.
I do too.
But not knowing the demographic or anything with that statistic being formed, I don't know how.
I have to look it up again. I'll look it up and I'll provide you with the data.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
I want to say it came from Church Answers.
Oh my.
And part of that was that you get in such a routine. And so what they were saying was like, well, when I pray for my dinner, or like if I'm praying to bless the food, you know, I don't just bless the food. I say all these other I add all this other stuff.
Yeah, but
still, I'm not being intentional about prayer, right? I'm not actually saying I'm going to pray, you know, every day outside of meals.
Mm. Wow.
So in my mind, I think about that and I say, well, if that's what the average pastor does, and look, I know that's not my pastor. I know
mine either.
I know tons of pastors who spend hours a day in prayer.
Yeah, exactly.
Right?
Yeah.
Because that's their they know that's their direct line.
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
And if you want to bring the power of heaven to earth.
Yeah, it's the only way that it's going to get here.
Only way, right?
Right.
But then I thought about it. Well, if you take away just the average Christian,
mm-hmm.
if you take away prayer for meals.
Right.
How much do they pray?
In actuality, or how much do I hope?
In actuality.
Okay.
Well, I don't know the answer to it because it wasn't. Answer. Yeah, I don't either. But if a pastor is, you know.
Only 8 minutes, what is a congregant like?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's where I was going.
Yeah.
So how can you be strong in the resolution that you make?
So let me tell you what my word for 2023 is going to be.
Okay.
Okay. It's connection.
Connection. That's a good word.
And the reason is, and we've talked about the I am third thing, and we've mm-hmm. talked about, you know, God, family, work, and club, and right, you know, right. all those things, right? So in order for me to be a better husband, a better P for my state,
yep.
a better member of my club,
yep.
a member of my church, to be a better worship leader, to be a fill in the blank, to be a better employee.
To be a better anything.
Anything. I have to stay connected in the Word of God and with God through Jesus.
That's right.
So the only way that I can do that is to be intentional with making sure that 8 minutes a week is not a norm for me, and I'm not even a pastor.
That's right. Me too.
Well, I'm not a.
I mean, you're not a.
I'm not an on paper ordained pastor.
Well, okay, you're a pastor, but you don't have a congregation.
All right. Exactly. So
you don't pastor a church building.
Right. So my point is, in order for me to build, to be a better Batman,
yeah,
I have to be connected.
Absolutely.
And I have to be connected in prayer and in the Word of God.
Yeah.
So if you want to call it a resolution, I've never called it a resolution because it's not been something that I've wanted to change. It's something that I've wanted to better. Every time that I've come up with that word for the year, last year it was listening and hearing, you know, so that I listen to what other people say and I hear what they say.
Which is a big one.
It's huge.
Because far too often people listen to respond.
Yep.
And they don't listen to hear.
Exactly. So that was what my 22 was about.
Yeah.
You know, and in other years, it's been different things. But for 23, it's going to be connection. Because I have to be, we've talked about being 1% better today than we were yesterday.
Right.
Right? We've talked about that. We've talked about our growth and our sanctification. And in order for me to put all that into practice, the only way that I can be 1% better today than I was yesterday, the only way that I can be sanctified and grow in my faith and grow in my sanctification is by being connected to God. And whatever way that is with Scripture and whatever that is in prayer, whether that be me rolling down the road coming to record a podcast,
yeah,
or whether it's when I wake up in the morning, the first thing that my feet do, or the first thing when my feet hit the floor that I do, or, you know, I get news about my son, the first thing that I did was, Lord, be with him through this time with the surgery. Let him Absolutely. Know that, you know, he's a long way from home. He's a long way from family. You know, he lives in the Houston area. So he's visiting someone in El Paso and ends up with an appendicitis. Mm. Here he is, you know, there's no, he doesn't have any family. So Lord, comfort him.
Yeah.
You know, keep his. So those are things that I keep in the forefront of my mind so that I go to Nemail before I email my buddies.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. No, Nemail, I like it.
So that I am, my first line of defense is not what would Batman do here, is, yeah, Lord, what do you want me to do?
Yeah.
Guide me through this. Give me the strength to get through this. Connect with me and show me how to connect with you so that I can grow in this.
What? Why do you think they call them resolutions?
Because we're resolved to do better.
I don't know. I think that's what it is too. Like, I was thinking the same thing, but I'm trying to think of, like, am I really resolved to do better? Because,
well,
like, and why does it take the new year?
That's my whole
right?
thing.
We started this saying why, and I'm thinking, well, it's a new beginning and it's a new this, but if I was really resolved to be better, I probably would be better.
I could do it July 3rd.
Last week.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So.
And here's something I want to throw out there.
Okay.
And I've talked about this before, not on this podcast, but if, for those who have heard me preach before, that you've probably heard this.
Yeah.
On September the 12th, 2001, Walmart, sold over 200,000 American flags.
Yeah.
Congress, both sides of the line, came together and prayed.
Yeah.
Politicians everywhere, it doesn't matter if you're a state senator or a U.S. congressman or whatever, everybody got together.
That's right.
Right? The country united on September the 12th. And showed their patriotism and showed their neighbor compassion.
Yeah.
Where was the patriotism September the 8th? Where was the compassion for your neighbor July the 30th?
Yeah.
Why did it take a catastrophe to ignite those things? Why does it take something so shock and awe? Why does it take something so disastrous for us to realize that there needs to be a change? And we put it off until there is this brand new landmark time of a new year and the first day of that new year. If I need to change, if I need to do something different, and I realize that in my life, I need to do that right then.
Yeah.
And we have these... We have these times, like my sobriety date was August 1st, 2008. Well, July 31st, 2008 was the last day that I drank, attempted to drink or take a drug.
Yeah.
The reason was I realized where that road was leading in reference to my family, in reference to my health, and in reference to where my spiritual walk was.
Yeah.
So if we realize those changes, why do we have to mark a day like January the 1st of 2023 or January the 1st of 2018 or fill in the blank for that first new year, day of the new year? Right. My whole thought process with this is in realizing that change. Now, I realize there are other things that need to change in my life, but I want to be that, – that's the reason I call it a word for the year instead of a resolution is because I want it to be better.
Yeah.
I realize my need for my Savior to be more prevalent in my life. You know, John 3:30 says, more of you and less of me.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And that's something that has always been something that in recent times, not always, because there were times when I was not walking with the Lord.
Yeah.
But in my race to Jesus, that's always been my mantra is more of you and less of me. So instead of making that resolution of this year, I'm going to be a stronger Christian. No, this year, I'm going to work on this particular thing so that I can grow.
Yeah. And I think that's what I've tried to do with the word as well, right? Because I'm not waiting until the new year, right? We've both said this numerous times, right? Yeah. Every day I want to be 1%.
1% better than I was yesterday.
Yeah, you know,
right.
1% closer to Christ, 1% better.
Mm-hmm.
And I still, I guess, don't understand, without God, how are you successful at it, right? It's easy to lose focus.
It really is.
And even as a Christian, how do you not lose focus?
So let me answer that question by asking this question. Do people realize that aren't working, people that aren't walking with Christ, do they realize what they're missing when they do that on their own? You see what I'm saying?
No, I think do they realize what they're missing? I feel like they do, but maybe not.
You know, we've talked about God-shaped holes in our hearts before.
Yeah, you know, but I don't understand how you can look at creation and not see it.
I don't either.
Right?
I don't either.
And I spent many years not seeing it.
Mm-hmm.
But once you've seen it, you can't unsee it, right? You just
can't.
There's nothing. When you know the truth, it's just that's the truth.
When you have the evidence.
Right? That's right.
Yeah.
When you have the evidence. And so maybe if they don't have the evidence, then that's what they rely on us for, right?
Maybe so.
To provide them the evidence. So maybe connection is a good word. To connect to other non-Christians. I don't know.
Right.
I don't know how it's going to work.
I don't either, but I'm going to let God roll it out.
That's right. That's right.
And I'm going to rely on him being so much smarter than me.
Well, because he is.
He is.
Right.
He is. And case in point, I've been studying Job the last 2 weeks.
Okay.
I'm on chapter 26 right now.
Okay.
And I'm, we've talked about how many times we go back and reread a, you know, a particular scripture or a passage or, yeah. Or a story or a book in the Bible and something else pops out at us.
Absolutely.
So after his three buddies come and tell him, you screwed up somewhere because God's mad at you, you know, and Job never wavered from it.
Right.
He never, he always, and he comes back in the chapter that I read this morning and he told, he basically just told them, you don't know what God's capable of.
Amen.
And he is so much, why God created the things that created everything, first of all.
Yeah.
And he gave us enough smarts to be able to create the things that we can claim credit for.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm on like day 60.
Of your F-260?
Of my F-260. And
yeah.
So we're going, it's in Joshua now.
Oh.
You know, and so, yeah, there's tons of stuff that you're just like, how did I miss? How did I miss some of that, right?
Right, right.
You know?
Yeah.
And, you know, even when he's with Moses and you know, they're going through Moses and the story between Moses and Aaron and the ephod and everything. And I'm mm-hmm. like, oh, yeah.
I forgot about that part.
Okay, okay.
Yeah.
What are you doing?
Yeah.
But we do, I think, there's just so much to unpack in the Bible. And I think that maybe that's the reason some people lose focus, right? There's so much to unpack with what they're trying to accomplish.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
I think so.
If they haven't, I think a lot of people make resolutions like spur of the moment. Oh, all my friends said they're going to lose weight, so I'm going to lose weight with them.
Yeah.
And there's no plan.
Well, yeah.
Right? There's no plan. Let's just be honest. There's no plan.
There's, yeah.
And sometimes, you know, if you think about like, it took 40 years.
To come out, to take a 3-day journey.
To take a maybe six. Yeah. But to take, you know, on foot, maybe it's a 6-day journey.
Maybe, yeah.
Right? But it took 40 years.
Right.
And, you know, some of those people needed Egypt walked out of them.
Ooh. Wow. I love that.
Right?
I love that. Because how many times do they pine for the old days?
Yeah, like, oh, if we could just go back into slavery, we'd have bread and
right.
we'd have, you know, pork and we'd have like all these right. things, right? We'd yeah. have food, we'd have meat, we'd have sustenance.
Right.
Yeah, we'd be working until our hands bled, but
yeah.
we'd have food.
We're still making bricks out here, people.
Right, with hay.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right?
Wow. I've never thought about some people need the Egypt walked out of them.
Yeah.
Never thought about that.
And they didn't have a plan.
Mm-mm.
They just, like, we're out. And God just said, go, right?
Right.
I'm going to deliver you. But the more they whined, the longer the journey took.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of them didn't make it.
Only two did.
Yeah.
Mm. Wow. Here's the thing. You're talking about being in the book of Joshua right now. My ADD would keep me in Joshua chapter 1, verses 1 through 9 for about 3 weeks. I love that passage.
Luckily, you know, you're very, it's very,
it's very structured. Regimented. I know.
On
I
what
get
you're
it.
Supposed to read.
I know.
You're supposed to read it. You know?
Yeah. And that's the thing about having a plan.
That's right. That's right.
You know?
You know, I've listened to the whole Bible on Audible. I've listened to the story.
Mm-hmm.
I've listened to a couple different versions of the Bible in Audible. I've read the Bible. Now, this is just a different structure because – and I don't know if you've done the F-260 or not.
I've never done the F-260. I've seen it, and I know some people that have gone through it, but I've done – I've attempted twice the 365 Bible.
Yeah. Well, this has – I think the reason I liked it is because, like, when you're going through, like, Leviticus, it
– Oh, you get so bogged down in things.
It, you know, it doesn't go through all the names.
Right.
Right. And same with Numbers. It doesn't, you know, doesn't go through everything. But it has, you know, at the beginning of the week, it'll say, here's kind of your memory verses.
Mm-hmm.
And there'll be some New Testament verses.
Oh, cool.
And it kind of reference back to what you're going to study for the next week. So you're supposed to read those verses every day.
Mm-hmm.
And then read your new, whatever the new day is.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So, you know, maybe two chapters in Joshua one day. And One day it was two chapters in Deuteronomy and a couple, you know, and it kind of flows that way.
Okay.
So I'm on like day 60. But I could have waited until New Year's.
Yeah. And actually, when you said that you had started it, I thought, well, why didn't you wait till New Year?
Yeah, because I wanted to do it. I wasn't making a resolution that I'm going to do it.
Right.
I didn't want to. There was no benefit to waiting.
Right.
Right. It's almost like you hear people say, well, I'm going to go on a diet on Tuesday. So Monday,
I'm going to cram.
Let's go have cake and ice cream and go to the all-you-can-eat Chinese buffet.
Exactly. Exactly. Right? Yeah.
I'm going to put on 20 pounds on Monday to lose 15 pounds when I go on my diet.
Well, that's the same concept with Fat Tuesday and Ash Wednesday.
Yeah.
The exact same concept.
Yeah.
And I, you know.
Here's what I'm going to do.
Yeah. So I'm with you on the why wait.
Yeah.
You know.
Why wait?
Why put it off?
Yeah. You can make a resolution any day of the week.
Yeah.
Tomorrow I'm going to be better.
Today I want to be better.
Yeah.
I want to start that today.
Yeah. So if you're listening and you're thinking, this is my New Year's resolution, right? Because I'm sure people listening have them.
Oh, yeah.
Right? Because this is going to come out sometime in January. It'll come out the 7th.
Oh.
January 7th. So by the time people listen to this, there's going to be a bunch of New Year's resolutions.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So I think the challenge is, what are you doing? What plan do you have to stay focused on that resolution?
Yep.
I would love to hear your plan.
I would too. And if you would, please send us an email at hello@nomadpastor.org and give us a little bit of insight. Tell us about your resolution, but tell us what your plan is. And if you need support in that in any way.
Absolutely.
We would love to help you out. We would now – let me say this. We're not probably the most qualified guys for everything that somebody is going to send us a resolution about.
I promise you. I'm going to consult with our wives.
Our wife. So I got a report Tuesday night. I'm going to go ahead and tell this.
Okay? Tell it.
So I got a report Tuesday night from a requester that requested a specific topic.
Yeah.
And when she said, I listened to your podcast the other day in the gym, and I know I had the deer in the headlights look, like, oh crap.
Or I knew which one.
I knew which one she was talking about.
Yeah.
But I was like, look, please understand, we are the most unqualified guys
in the
world
to
be doing that particular podcast. She said it was great.
Yeah, which is amazing.
It really was.
Yeah,
because we literally just tackled that and went, we're just going to go with it. And I enjoyed the conversation. Yeah. I really enjoyed the conversation, but I really enjoyed the feedback too.
Yeah.
And so if you would please send us an email at hello@nomadpastor.org. Tell us what your resolution is. Tell us how we can help you and support you through that. If it's just prayer, we'll be glad to do that. And
absolutely,
we can even do that on the air.
Absolutely.
But the thing is, we want to be more than just a couple of knuckleheads that are out here rambling on things.
Yeah.
You know, we want to help people. And so in order to do that, please tell us what your New Year's resolution is and what your plan is and how we can support you through that.
Absolutely. And then, you know, the other thing I would say to that is that if you're listening and you're considering, like, what's my next step? Like, you stumbled across the podcast or a friend told you to listen to it. Mm-hmm. I know that there are people that listen that I have heard from or heard of that don't have a church that they go to. That their friend of a friend of a friend told them to listen to it.
Mm-hmm.
If you are at that crossroads,
mm-hmm,
right, and you're ready to invest in a church,
mm-hmm,
just to show up. That's what I mean by invest, right? You haven't went. Let us know. Reach out. We will help you find
a biblical-based
church in whatever area you're in.
Right. It doesn't matter. You don't have to be in Middle Tennessee.
It doesn't matter where you're at. We will help do the legwork. We have friends all over the country. Right?
Yeah.
In different ministries that know where to go.
Right.
and that will accept you regardless of what you think may or may not be your flaw.
Yeah, exactly.
They'll accept you with love.
Yeah, yeah. And let me say this too. No matter what no matter what you think of yourself, no matter how you view yourself, you're never too far gone to be saved by Jesus.
Ever. Right.
So if you think, well, I got to clean up my act before I can come to Christ, you're thinking with the wrong part of your brain. So please reach out to us.
Yeah. I remember, and I think I've told you this, you know, when I first really was getting involved in coming to Christ, I was like, I can't go to church. I don't have a suit. I don't have a.
Yeah.
Right. We've talked about that, but
yeah,
that's not what it is.
No.
This is about a relationship.
Yep. Yep.
And frankly, any church that you would go to that would require you to put on something that is not who you are is not following Christ.
I agree.
Right. I'm not saying you shouldn't get dressed up. I'm saying if you want to get dressed up, praise God.
Yeah.
Right? You're worshiping the Lord.
Right.
Right. But if you don't have it, you'll be welcomed with open arms.
You know,
that's what I'm saying.
And here's the thing: I was brought up with the mindset of you give your best to the Lord.
Yeah.
And when you are in a corporate setting, like a church service,
yeah,
you wear your best.
Yeah.
Now, I'm not saying that is a wrong mindset to have. I'm not saying it is the only mindset to have because I wear this to church.
I know.
And I lead worship in my cut.
And there's nothing wrong
with it. And there's nothing wrong with it, right? So what I'm saying is.
But that's your ephod.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
We were talking about that.
Yeah.
Right? Moses and Aaron,
yeah.
Right? Your cut is your priestly garments.
Right.
So it's not. That is, you are putting on your best.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's how I feel about my cut.
Yeah. Now, this one smells a little sweaty.
Well, look, mine's in the garage for a reason.
I'll tell you a story off air.
But yeah, but like I said, Linda's like, take that outside.
Yeah, yeah. But please let us, however we can, you know, help you with, you know, finding a church home.
Yeah.
Or walking through a resolution or a word for the year. Or if you have study questions or looking for study aid or guides or something like that, reach out to us.
Absolutely.
We'd love to help you out.
Absolutely.
Love to help you out.
Well, it's been a pleasure.
Man, I love it.
Yeah. So, again, we're on every podcast platform of choice. You can go to YouTube and subscribe. Please do subscribe, right?
Yeah.
Click on that little bell, subscribe. It'll notify you every time there's a new episode.
Yeah.
They come out every Wednesday.
Every Wednesday morning.
So remember, love God.
And love people.